Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the podcast all about storytelling and advice giving where we're legally not responsible for the consequences that may follow. My name is Peter.
And this is Andreas.
And please welcome our special guest back for the second episode, Thomas.
Hey guys, it's me again. Welcome back to me. I can't wait to be on this show. It's my favorite. I feel like I'm less of like a special guest and more of like a, hey, we brought one of our fans on the show. And he's just hanging out, just trying to be as cool as these two guys.
Thomas is just the show monkey in the recording booth. We keep him here on contract.
Yeah, and like
more like honestly, an unpaid internship.
We pay him bananas.
Yeah.
I love bananas. They keep you from having muscle spasms and other such bodily functions that are not what you intend, you know?
We are your three inventive, intelligent, and immaculate hosts. And just so you know, we have no credentials to be giving anyone advice, but you're listening to us do that exactly. Both to each other and our viewers, who we have a lot of things to cover, Andreas. I tell you what.
Yeah, Peter, how the heck are you? It's been like 8 months since we recorded an episode. I'm just stoked to be back.
Yeah, I'm feeling fun and fine and maybe even fancy free. So it's January 2022.
Yeah.
Welcome. The last episode 7 aired in late May of last year. It's been a while.
Yeah. This is our sophomore emo album.
It is. Season 2, baby. Before we get into the meat and potatoes, I do want to throw a quick shout out to one of our lovely viewers, Aurora, who wrote to us in our hiatus in December. She just basically said that she really enjoyed the podcast and that she wanted us to bring it back. So this episode's dedicated to you for sticking with us, even though we haven't recorded in months.
Particularly, I love that. I love Aurora's comment because she's not anyone that we paid and or are friends with and or are related to. She's just a person, a great person for commenting and listening to our podcast. But it's just great that we have some outreach even when we're not recording. And the idea is to get back on a regular schedule on a regular basis and bring this all back.
Exactly. But we're not going to tell you when or how.
Yet. Oh, maybe that was our mistake.
We're not. Yeah, exactly. We're not in the promise making business quite yet. We're trying to get our foothold here.
Yeah, they don't have their licenses for therapy quite yet, so they've already moved on to trying to hedge their bets on getting a license and promises.
Yeah.
Yes, my promise license is well in the works.
Yeah, there's a lot of paperwork in that shit, man.
Well, I'm happy to be back, and Peter, as you know, on this show, we like to give advice and go over topics that are potentially not just bothering our listeners, but could be potential breakthroughs in our podcasting endeavors. And so, but first, I would like to hear a story from you.
Attention for anybody that's about to indulge us in listening to Story of the Week. During Story of the Week, we talk about poop. I'm gonna lay it out. So if you're uncomfortable with toilet stories and poop, go ahead and skip to, like, I don't know, 25 minutes into this episode. You should be fine.
Graphic content.
Oh, boy. And do I have a story. I more have a kind of a humble brag, even. So this came up. I forget who I was talking to. But it was somebody, and we were talking about poop. And how I have a frighteningly, like, accurate, punctual, I don't know what the right time verb adjective here is, but I poop every day at 10 o'clock in the morning.
we're really talking about your poop immediately. It's like, hey guys, welcome back, season two. It's in the works.
8 months
guys.
Later, Peter's talking about his poop right off the fucking rip.
Hey man,
right off the lid, Peter's talking about poop.
This is the true test right off of our the viewership.
Pot. Right off,
yeah, out of the
right
hiatus off the
pot.
Out of the hiatus, red and
right
purple.
Off the old yeah, water closet and into the fucking sewer.
Yeah, so
here we go. It's flushed away in here. Where are my animated rats?
Are you on top of that?
We need remember when they made rats. Ratatouille American? And it was yep. just it was just rats eating
entire
shit.
Movie about toilet humor.
All right, Peter, tell us yes. about it.
Yeah, so I poop Monday through Friday every day at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I have not missed a day for quite some time. It's really scary. The only
Do you
reason
have a bookkeeping
no,
system?
No, well, kind of. But like the only reason I don't go to the bathroom at 10 a.m. on weekends is because I'm usually not awake until 10. Like I sleep in all the time. But when I'm at work, I get to work at 8 o'clock. I work for like an hour and 55 minutes. And then I'm gone for like 10 to 15 because that's my 10 o'clock poop break. And I was wondering yeah. if I'm the only person out here that has such a timely schedule.
So not only are you talking about your own shit on the podcast, mm-hmm. but now you expect you bring me onto this podcast and you ask me about how regularly I poop. That's the first thing you want from me.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Can I do a drop back for a second? Peter, you know how people like do their bullet journals and like keep a very organized and fancy journal and it's got like gel pens and colors and it's yeah. So what you should do is make like this poop matrix where you assign a color to like each scale of goodness. So you could do like green is like a really good poop and then like blue is decent. And then like as you slide over to the other side of the scale, like orange and red is like really bad poop.
Red is where you're like, no. Red is bad. But then black is like fighting for your life, gripping yeah. the side of the wall.
Yeah. So yeah. You set up this bullet journal, you get these gel pens and you make this matrix and you bubble in a little graph square every time you poop, and then you've got like a year of poops.
I color think that's a wonderful
color
idea.
Color coordinated.
So
poops.
Here is also something hilarious. I have my own bathroom at work. I'm the only man on my floor, and it's just a single like little lock the door bathroom. There's a toilet sink, you know. So.
That's actually really nice.
It's super nice.
It is one of the best parts of my job is that I have a private bathroom.
Yeah, they're like, we're not going to give you more hourly, but you do have a private bathroom.
Yeah, so what I fear is that if I were to start this journal, I would get lazy and leave it in there. And so the one time that like the CEO of the company is visiting my office or like we have like a customer that really needs to go and is pointed towards the bathroom, that they would get curious enough to open this journal. Peter's poop timeline or something.
You could have like little annotations too.
Yeah.
It would say Peter Mewlings and then your title at work.
Yeah.
Poop journal. And then your office.
Of course.
Like location.
Yeah. Yeah.
And photo ID.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in the front. Yeah.
I like this idea.
I think it could really work out. And you know, at this time next year, I can go to r/ what is it? Data is beautiful or something.
Yeah.
And post my poop matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could really work out.
Yeah. What other poop stats could you record? Like there's like quality of
time spent.
Time spent.
There's a quality of, but also the time spent.
Yeah.
I would be curious.
Like
about
if you really spent. Like if you can get in and out in like 2 minutes, you're golden. But if you're in there muscling one out for like 10 solid minutes, oh boy.
Time spent to me is like that's like a scatter plot, right? Where you get you scatter plot all of your time spent and then you can sort of develop a trend line too.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is great. I love this.
It's like, for whatever reason, it takes me longer to poop on Fridays over like Tuesdays. Yeah. Send that to my doctor. Be like, what is going on?
You have a log where you write what you ate the night before so that you can like correlate duration and quality of to the foods you've eaten.
Right.
This is graphic. People have tuned out.
I hope so.
This is, again, a strong intro to this second season of the podcast.
But like I said, this is a test of our viewership, right?
It's like an entry pass.
On that note,
it's its own gatekeeping.
Yeah, if you can make it
gatekeeping gatekeeping your own podcast is the key to growth. I have heard that.
It's true, but here's the thing: if you can make it past story of the week every episode, that's when you actually know that we have like a loyal viewership.
One day we're going to have to do the therapy session part of the podcast about our intro part of the podcast, because people are going to write and be like, this has given me trauma. I need you to fix it because you've created me. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Thomas. Well, time to spill the beans, I guess, on our habits and tribulations in the so-called metaphorical shit house. Actually, it's shit house. There's nothing metaphorical about it.
Spill the beans, drop the load, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Drop the load.
Drop the depth charges.
There's something so simple about drop the load.
Yeah. And it's a proper noun.
Yeah.
It's capitalized.
There's a big old capital L on that boy. Yeah.
Like, just want to make that one clear. I don't know. Andreas, you go first. I feel like I should be last. I want to gauge I don't know how much I want to reveal about my habits in case I have assassins after me. Because that's like the perfect place to kill me.
I'm sensing a bit of angst, Thomas.
I'm a shy poop. I'm a shy pooper.
The way you said that was golden.
There's something very manly, actually, about like when someone walks in the bathroom and you're sitting on the toilet and someone walks in the bathroom and you completely freeze up and it's just this moment of
I have the worst stage fright, dude. Like I have to, which is why my bathroom situation at work is phenomenal, because I cannot do any, I can't even pee if there's somebody in the same bathroom as me.
Right. So there's something very, it's super rewarding and like it's very liberating to be able to like push past that and go about your business and be like, I'm not going to let this person interrupt my moment.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you, but it turns out I have anxiety. So that doesn't work for me. And sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, but I'm putting it together right now in my brain what I'm going to be able to tell you about my pooping habits. Yeah. So that's why you have to go before
me.
I need to see you do it so that I can have the confidence.
Just think about how much closer the three of us are going to be after today.
The three of us and now the 100-something listeners that are thus far invested in this podcast.
Hey, man, this is content.
Peter, I know far too much about you and your excrement, being your twin brother, which, by the way, I suppose that could have been something that we did lead with in case people didn't know.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. From the previous
we said that
season.
Last time.
Yeah, but not everybody's the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, right. No, get him back to that last season.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Views.
If you haven't listened to those, listen to those first.
Yeah, go listen to episode 4.
No, listen to episode 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5. And if you've already listened to them, listen to them again.
Yeah, go, and especially if you want to know Thomas's, go listen to episode 4, I Dropped My Ice Cream. Also, happens to be our longest episode.
Oh, wow, episode Thomas was on is the longest episode? Big shock.
Yeah, everything about me is long.
I look forward to how you're going to loop that into your poop story here. But Andreas, go ahead.
So, I actually have a moderately funny story about this, because I started working a new job in November, and it's funny because basically nothing in our building works for some reason. And one of the things that doesn't work is the toilet. 100%, like, so it works enough for someone not to fix it at this point. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you hold down the handle and it sort of just goes in a circle, but nothing goes down. It's just sort of like, yes.
Man, I have got some spite and anger against bad toilets.
Yeah. So it just sort of like, yeah, there's no vertical motion on the toilet. So
how?
It just circles.
How is it even possible that they forgot the Z-axis on that?
Yeah, did the plumber cast an anti-gravity spell on this yes. thing? Like, what the hell?
No, but so the thing is...
You know what, Peter? That's a good idea for a webcomic, Wizard Plumber. I'm taking that. Is a
draw the pilot,
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
The thing is, if you give it a good, like, 4 or 5 goes... it'll finally like
individual flushes. Like you have to turn.
It has to be like the perfect timing. Like you have to get the rhythm down. Cause if they're too far apart, it won't work because it'll be too far apart. If they're too close together, it's still going and it can't like reset.
Your work toilet is a rhythm game.
Yeah. Yeah. What so you got to give it like the good, like, ka-ka, 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 and then like it works, but sometimes it just doesn't, and so you have to, or you're not good enough at the rhythm game to make it happen, and so
yeah, you didn't get perfects on all of your notes. So yeah, you can't get one good,
yeah,
because otherwise you won't get an S
plus. Exactly. And if you mess it up, you need the S plus. you can't go back and get it right after that. It just doesn't work after that. So
right, because then the bathroom's flooded.
So then you got to work on the plunger situation. And
and that's your second rhythm.
Exactly.
Game.
But that's where the poop anxiety comes in for me, is like, I don't want someone to go in there while I'm going ham on the plunger trying to get the thing to go. And so
wow, so you're really put under pressure to get the rhythm game right the first exactly. time.
So anyway, all of this culminates to the fact that I have now been attempting to train myself to not have to go at any time during my workday.
Oh, interesting.
And it's led to some like really healthy habits. Like I have been drinking less at night because I'm afraid that the alcohol is going to create a problem. And I don't drink as much coffee because that can create a problem. And I eat breakfast at a regular time because I don't want my food schedule to get off, because that could create a problem in which I need to go to the bathroom and play a 20-minute rhythm game, or otherwise run the risk of being caught plunging like a maniac.
Wow. So you're a hold it until you get home guy.
Yeah, but it's getting much better. Like the schedule is readjusting, and now it's less of a hold right. it in and more of a like, this is the time.
Right. This is just right. what happens.
Yeah, this is just yeah. the natural.
I also
timing.
Considered
yeah,
okay. like part of this routine for me and like redeveloping my habits. Like I considered waking up earlier so that I would have to go sooner.
So you have that
before
little extra
I go to
time.
Work. That didn't work.
Amazing.
I love the commitment, and I think you have formed very healthy habits, Andreas, and your viewers are going to take a lot away from that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Take the moral out of there. It's all about forming healthy habits that you enjoy, that you feel are making a difference in your life.
Exactly. And I've been drinking more water because water is good for you and it doesn't result in solid waste. There you go.
All right, Thomas.
I'm happy for you.
Your time has come.
Grand entrance. All I have to say about this is, yeah, I'm pretty regular, except when I travel, ever.
That's fair.
And then that throws my whole system off. And then that's just a fucking nightmare. I eat a lot of vegetables.
The issue isn't a lack of fiber.
Well, no, it is. Because I'm pretty sure my system's so used to having just a, like a good, crazy amount of those tasty, tasty fibers in it, that the moment that I'm like traveling and I'm just eating like, you know, whatever's getting thrown my way, my system's just like, okay, close the doors, you know? And it's like when It's like when the space station has a hole in it and then every blast door closes like violently. It's like, yeah, yeah, no. It's like, you want to know pain? Do you want to know what it's like to not poop for 3 days?
Oh, no.
Jesus.
And you know when it gets dangerous? Fourth day. Fourth day is when it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
So for everyone out there, it's no joke. Eat a banana. Anyway, this episode's sponsored by Dole.
Fourth day, there's like probiotics running around with little hard hats on, like DEFCON 4, DEFCON 4.
Yeah, they are freaking out. So anyway, that's the only time where it's particularly irregular. But I do have a great, I think there is a certain point, though, that you do reach in age and in confidence, one that I couldn't imagine reaching. Because of my crippling imposter syndrome in my career, I can't imagine that my imposter syndrome in my poop confidence is going to get any different or better faster. Because I went to the bathroom at this hotel a while ago, like in the lobby, because I was just like hanging out there, whatever. And I just went, I was just peeing, you know, and dude busts into the bathroom, effectively kicks the door down to the stall. And the sounds that came out of there were both inhuman and more animal than I've ever heard in my life, and fast. You know, like, how does someone, like, and it's not like he was particularly, like, he didn't seem
distressed. You
know, no, he wasn't distressed. He wasn't urgent. He was just sure of himself. He was sure that he was going into that stall, and the moment his cheeks touched the seat, like, it was all-out war.
I feel like we should move on for the people that are uncomfortable by this conversation.
And I mean, like, it rumbled the entire room. I saw it had beautiful subway tile in the bathroom. I saw singular subway tiles fall off the wall in slow motion and smash on the ground around me. I can't even tell you, like, how terrible it was. I usually have terribly good aim, but the actual vibrations.
I'm just gonna add a long beep here.
Right.
Yeah. I lost my footing. I fell straight into hell. Right.
We're gonna have to throw a warning at the beginning of story of the week.
You could always throw poop stories, like you could introduce them at the beginning, but then you could throw story of the week like a little tasty treat at the end of the episode.
Nah, you know, man. Please never say tasty treat in the context of this conversation ever again.
Yeah, man. That was a bad call.
Oops.
All right. Well, look. I think we should move on to our next segment. Peter, would you like to do the honors of introducing anything else?
So normally we have silly time, but I think story of the week covered quite a good portion of silly time. So
also, you guys calling one of your segments silly time.
Well, it's
That's not official, is it?
No, it is. We always have it on our outlines for the episode. And since I typed up this episode's outline, I forgot it. So Andres made a bullet. He made a sure point that says, can't forget silly time.
It's great. The thing about silly time is that we don't outline anything under silly time. Like, we don't, like,
it just exists.
We don't outline silly time. We just allocate time to silly time. And then whatever happens in silly time is sort of like this paradigm of the podcast that is its own thing.
If we have a loyal enough viewer that can pick out every episode silly time, we have a bounty
every
on
every episode
that.
Is silly time. No, okay. Go ahead, Peter.
Anyway, yeah, so I tweeted out this fine morning on the Unlicensed Therapy Twitter, at Unlicensed Show, if you want to go follow. I asked everybody. I was like, hey, season two starting. We're talking about work. What problems do you have at work? What issues do you have? And how can we solve them? We got a great response from a lot of people. And I'm just going to start from the top. At Maddie Cade writes, I'm not working right now, but I know when I start as a nurse, it will be really hard. One thing I hate is the saying that, quote, nurses eat their young. Help me, unlicensed therapists. So what I take out of this is three different questions that I want you guys to answer. One, how do you deal with the anxiety of starting with a new job? Two, what kind of expectations do you feel fall on the new person in any workplace? And three, how did you handle it? I believe Andreas has most recently been the new guy at work. So why don't you take it away?
Sure. This is a great question. I actually love this question. And I can totally understand the phrase nurses eat their young, because I do feel like many trades, many jobs, I feel like you get there and you feel like you're out there ready to get eaten by wolves or something. Those wolves are your coworkers who have been there on tenure for 20 plus years, and they're so dead inside that they can't wait to devour you. The point being,
hoping for any crumb of energy or enthusiasm. Exactly.
You walk in so happy and excited for your first day of work, and then you realize you're in the lion's den and not somewhere more safe. How do you deal with your anxiety of starting a new job? I think it's important to not necessarily decide who you want to be before, but I do think walking in with the mindset of the person that you want to be is important, because I feel like what inevitably happens to me is the first sentence out of my mouth is something stupid that I haven't thought of, or like that I wasn't ready to say. And then that sort of starts to define who you are already. And so like, anxiety management wise, I think, even though this sounds totally tacky, I think, you know, when you're starting the first day of school and you're thinking about like the lines that you're going to say to people when they ask you questions, and,
or like even before that first day of school where you spend a full hour deciding what your first day of school outfit is going to be, so nobody makes fun of you.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. I think prepping yourself with conversation starters and like, things that identify the positive parts of your personality are genuinely important. I also think just being optimistic and manifesting the fact that you do belong there, you got hired for this position for a reason, and you might feel like you're out of place or that you're an imposter in this place, but give yourself more credit, right? Like, you've worked to get here, you have skills that put you here, and everybody is the same way when they start. Expectations, I think, I don't know, aside from work expectations, which of course you're going to have like deliverables and deadlines and whatever, but I think as far as like social expectations in the workplace, I think part of that is on you to go out of your way to meet your coworkers. Because your coworkers, they've been there for however long, they've seen people come and go. You're not necessarily special to them, although you might feel that way, that you're the center of attention. I think everyone's just working and doing their thing, and I think it's a little bit on you to go out of your way and meet your coworkers and put yourself out there. And what do you guys think?
Make an impact.
Yeah,
just going hot and heavy, angry. In fact, I think is usually a pretty good start. No, absolutely not. I agree with everything Andreas said. I relate to the go out of your way to make friends with your coworkers, or not even friends, build some form of relationship, introduce yourself. I'm also a huge proponent of like, you don't got to be friends with these people. Like at the end of the day, these are your coworkers and liking them is the end goal. You don't got to be chums, you know, but I think like introducing yourself or at least just asking who people are, I think a really great strategy that I employ a lot with talking and learning about new people is, like Andreas said, you know, you ain't special. You're not the center of attention. Just people love to talk about themselves, though, probably like you do. So get people to talk about themselves, you know, ask them questions, like center the conversation around them and not yourself. And that will not only make a great impression because people love to talk about themselves, But I mean, you'll also, you know, get what you need, yeah. which is learning about these people, which makes it so that you might find things in common and makes it a lot easier to actually befriend or find common ground or, you know, and it's like a genuine thing too. I make it sound like chess or like strategy, but it's not, you know, it's just like, you know, just like listen to people, do a lot of listening.
Well, first, and then talk. Maybe even a bonus like perk of that is that it takes the pressure off of you. You know, if you're asking the questions and making them talk about themselves, that can either give you the time you need to know what you want to say about yourself, or you don't even have to say it at all because they're too busy talking, right? That I feel like that relieves that pressure of trying to impress right away with, you know, things about you.
Yeah. I think one thing that is something that you want to avoid is there's nothing worse than you getting 4 or 5 or 6 weeks into your job and you didn't go out of your way to introduce yourself to people in your office, and now you've been at work with them for 6 weeks and you still don't know them or their name or what they do. And now it's almost too late to do the whole icebreaker thing. So you almost have to like ask someone else or just figure it out yourself because you didn't go out of your way when you were new. And there was a very easy opportunity to be like, hey, I'm the new guy. What do you do here?
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever do find yourself in that situation and your company has a company directory with pictures,
yes,
that is a lifesaver, let me tell you. Because there have been multiple times at work for me where I meet somebody and I pretend like I know exactly who they are and what they do, and I jump straight to the employee directory to figure out who I just talked to.
That's actually great, though. And a lot of corporate companies have that where their email address and everything is like programmed in the directory.
Their extension.
You can see their title. The title's great. Figuring out people's titles is like essential.
Yeah. Quick addition for all those people that are doing remote work. Really easy to send someone a message on Slack or whatever you're using. It's way easier than seeking someone out in a building, and it never hurts just to be like, hey, I'm new. Nice to meet you. And it's what I did. So
sweet. Well, Maddie, I hope that answers your question, and hope that yields some kind of value. Up next, at Reach to the Skies writes, I'm a game programmer, and the artists I work with are often very bad at following instructions. And then he wrote out a little scenario where he says, them, everything's broken. Me, spends time trying to understand the problem. Me, did you check the log for errors? The artists say no. And then he goes back, checks the log, finds the errors, fixes the errors, and proceeds to cry. So after I read this, I kind of extrapolated, maybe. How do you guys handle people that don't use their resources effectively? Like, do you ever give instructions only to see them not be paid any mind? Or, like, do you try to beat your head against your desk saying, I already wrote this in an email and I can't believe you went ahead and didn't read it?
So, I guess my first, oh man, I wish I had a fix for you, but welcome to the rest of your goddamn life because you're like, there's no way someone's going to know every time how to do that one specific thing that you wish they had learned how to do, because a lot of the times they're just not thinking about it, or they're really busy, or they just don't care. And making people care and doing all of that stuff, part of a big company or small company, requires some like change at like a process level that is probably not going to be enacted by you just being upset that someone didn't do, you know, that check in this, you know, like, so my thing is like, go, you got to get more top level, right? Like telling them over and over again will never fix the problem, because they're going to keep doing what's easy for them. Not because they are trying to be shitty to you, but because it's, you know, human nature, path of least resistance, right? So like make it, you know, you're going to have to put in some elbow grease to make the change from more of a overarching whole situation, right? So you're going to have to like put in some infrastructure into place and do some teaching, because maybe they don't even know in certain circumstances. Like some people might just not think about it at all. I don't know. I feel like it's a constant like complaint to just be like, oh, but I said this in an email. But people don't always read the email, and they're never always going to read the email.
Which is the bane of my goddamn existence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, it's
I swear to God, I'm so articulate in my emails, and not even close to half the time all of it gets read.
I think, you know, it becomes a problem when it's impacting your ability to do your job, that's for sure. And then you need to have a conversation with someone who can do something about it. When you're working for a small company, it's a little like it might be a little easier in a certain way, except that everyone's tighter and they know each other better. And so maybe making that change is more difficult on a personal level. Corporate level, it's just more bureaucratic, right? So you got a bunch of different weird things yeah. to deal with. It's sometimes I chalk it up to honestly just being part of the job. Like I'm a creative, and every single day I have
to. Yeah, Thomas is an artist, and he doesn't listen to people all the time.
No. People don't listen to me all the time, and they don't care about my expertise. And I got to deal with that all the damn time, and also have to deal with people not reading my suggestions, or ignoring them, or not listening to a very clear issue that was brought up many times, only to have it blow up in everybody's face at the last minute.
Yeah.
And God, you know what? That's just it, baby. That's show business. And I'd love to give you more on it, but it's like, you gotta fight for that change if you really, really want it. Because otherwise, that's the culture, you know? That's the job.
I am so glad you brought that up, because this is so like true to my work today even. So we recognized an issue at work last Friday that I already had a game plan for, that I kind of planned in my head over the weekend. So this morning at 8 a.m. when I got to work, I set my plan in motion. I got everything done for it, while also doing everything else that everybody asked me to do. And then at our 10 o'clock meeting, I suggested, I was like, hey, we should move the due date for this, because there's no way we're relying on too many other people whose time we don't control because they don't work for this company to get everything to us on time. So we should just move out the day that we're planning to have all this together instead of trying to rush other people. And then that was promptly ignored by everybody on that call. And then I got to sit and wait until about 4:30 when my boss was like, hey, maybe we should just move the due date because clearly this isn't going to work. And I was like, oh, glad I wasted the last 6 hours of my life doing something I already knew was going to fail.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
frustrating, man.
I did want to add really quick. I think another thing that helps me a lot is just like, because there's an amount of this that's like, okay, so in your case, you've now fixed the problem with the artist not reading your logs and not solving a problem. Let's say it's fixed now. Okay, move on to the next thing that doesn't get listened to. And like, now you got to deal with a new one. So it's going to keep happening regardless of how many times you fix it. Probably there's no fix all for this one. A great thing that I've come to understand is just like empathy. I think like understand what those artists are doing, like, but at a more personal level, you know, what's that day even look like to them? Is it hard for them to check the logs? Probably not. But is it emotionally difficult for them to do it? Is there some reason they can't? You know, and it's like easy at first just to be like, oh, it's just being lazy. But like, maybe there's something else going on. You know, maybe there's a misunderstanding. Maybe they literally just have no idea what's going on, even on multiple occasions. So I think it's good just to be like, these are also people that work with me and they got a whole thing going on and I might not even have 10% of what is happening with them. So that always helps me be like, yeah, people can be forgetful and people can also not do what I ask them or skim something that I've, you know, written to them. But at the end of the day, I mean, in most cases, hopefully, I get paid and that's okay. And there are things that happen.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
sometimes it's just like center yourself and just be like, okay, Zen, shit happens and shit will hit the fan. You know,
for sure.
As long as, you know, you're getting credit for your good work and things like that. And it's not being detrimental to your career or something. Right.
Yeah.
All easy to say.
I think I approach a lot of, well, I guess I would approach this in a couple different directions, but like on the logistical side, you most definitely have to front load the information and front load your emails, right? Because the further into an email you get or the further into an explanation you get, the less people are going to pay attention. So I, you know, if you're requesting something or if you need to explain something to someone, make that the first thing you write and then identify the most important part of the instructions and put that at the front. And then it's like, if there's anything you retain from this, make sure that it's this thing. I think also, as far as emails go, when you're asking questions, guarantee this has happened to everybody, but if you ask a multi-part question, you're only going to get a response to one part of your question.
And it's the first part always.
Yeah. So if you ask, what day is this due? Can you take a look at this? If so, I need this, this, and this. They're only going to respond to the due date question and move on. For some reason, like, I don't know what that is about people, but I think most of it is just workflow is very quick and they're trying to get through a lot of emails and answering questions as quickly as possible. And so definitely if you're asking questions or requesting clarification, request those independently of each other, sometimes in separate emails if you have to.
I think formatting for me to be a big old designer on this one, it'll literally be like, these are the things that I need from you, :1.
Yeah.
Period. Question. Enter. 2. Period. Question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you'll still only get an answer to your intro.
Exactly. But it might, it helps to lay it out. And I think like no one wants to receive a wall of text in an email. So being concise and clear is important. But then sort of to Thomas's point about, you know, maybe they received poor training at the beginning and they genuinely don't understand what they're supposed to do. So explaining it calmly and slowly and in ways that they can understand is important. I also think at some point there are some people that will take advantage of the fact that you're fixing it all the time. And so sometimes, and it's obviously on sort of an individual basis, I think, but sometimes it's okay to say, I'm too busy, or I might not know the answer to that, or sort of let them know that you're not the person that needs to fix that, or that there is a way that they can fix it and outline the way that they can fix it themselves as opposed to just fixing it for them so that hopefully the problem resolves itself eventually.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think, you know,
that's good.
Also, find the people that you can complain with. That's huge.
Yes.
You're gonna.
Yes.
I think
have
it's like
a
again,
work buddy.
It's like always gonna be that thing of like, yeah, this problem might get resolved, but you're in it together with your fellow programmers in this one, or like I am in it with my fellow animators, and you're always gonna have shit to spew. So just have that support network. Have those people that you can go to and just be like, yeah, it wasn't hard to do that thing, but man, did I not want to do it. Those idiots.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That's actually crazy. That happened to me today, actually, because we were going through a stressful thing where there were a lot of moving parts with different groups from different companies all had to contribute to this product. And I was getting super stressed about it this morning. And so I went to my boss as we were walking out the door and I was like, hey, sorry if I seemed frustrated earlier. I wasn't. Well, I mean, I was genuinely frustrated, but not at you. I wasn't trying to be an ass about it. And he's like, if you ever need to go in the conference room with me and just like we close the door and scream about it, like that's cool. And that's awesome. It's good to have someone that supports you in the struggle because, yeah, it can be.
The bonus points if it's your boss. Bonus points if it's your boss. That's great.
Yeah. So.
So anyway, that was about every little tiny thing we could have dissected about.
Yeah. You really picked that up. So hopefully.
Sometimes it feels good to just be heard. That sucks, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just sucks. Sometimes there might not even be something you can really do about it because we don't know what your work is like. It could be that you're in one of those smaller companies that just expects you to do a lot more than you bargained for. And that sucks, you know? I hope you like it overall, but that single part of it sounds like it sucks. So good luck with
that. Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah. Hopefully you can get something out of that. Okay. Finally, this is a short one.
I like this one. Can I read this one and then we'll get your answer, Peter?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. At Chris KJ Hannon writes, the children I work with are too young to understand how witty and funny I am all the time. How do I make them not dumb?
I mean, excellent question.
The takeaway here, what's the best way to communicate with children? Are they just too dumb to understand how amazing we adults are?
I mean, yes, they are that dumb. They don't have a fully developed brain. You have to resort to take your brain and Benjamin Button it in reverse, right?
Wait, is that just
forward? 25.
Benjamin Buttoning in reverse?
Shh, fuck. I don't. He goes. Does he get older or younger?
He goes. Peter, we get older.
Fuck, Peter.
Okay. I don't know the movie. Chill out. God.
Yeah, but why would it be miraculous if he just was normal?
I forgot what the movie was about.
You just
about.
Have to take your brain and grow up like everybody else.
Grow the fuck
up. You have two approaches. You can tell the kids to grow up or you age yourself down. I'm 25. If I was talking to a kid, I'd try to revert my brain to what it was like when I was 8. Which, if you want to know what that's like, jump to like minute 8 of this podcast, which we're talking about poop.
No. You got it all wrong, Peter. I'm a hard disagree with you on this one. I've personally worked with kids a lot.
So please.
You are super witty and funny. And the kids might not realize that, but just double down. Just double down on your wittiness and funniness. Someone will hear it and laugh. The kids, the funny part should be that you're able to laugh at your own jokes. Like, you know you're cool. You know you're funny. They will pick up on the energy. Yeah. Like, kids are great at that. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, this is a cool guy over here. I have no idea what joke, if that was a joke or what. I don't know. But, man, That confidence, though, like that,
it sounded like it should have been.
I'm going to follow them around and definitely flatter them by kind of acting like them a little bit from now on. And Peter has a point, too. I mean, like, just be a kid about it, too. You know, like, do some weird stuff. Be a weird person. Yeah. Like, kids love it when you're just weird. And you got to throw some of the, you know, sprinkle it in.
If that kid on the playground wants to play live action Pokemon with you and he wants to be the Pokemon trainer, get down on your knees and be Pikachu.
And headbutt him. Headbutt the kid.
Yeah, just absolutely thrash him. Teach him what Pokemon would actually be like.
Drop his HP to 1.
Yeah.
If you're so witty, by the way, if you are arrogant enough to believe you are this witty and that the kids don't see it, what's wittier than playing them, you know, get down to their level, snake into their little minds and be witty to them for them? Because to me, you're being witty to adults. You got the wrong audience here. And that's not witty to me. You know, play your audience and then we can talk about how witty you are.
There is something great, I think, about when you're around younger kids or like little kids where you just treat them like you would treat normal adults and you talk to them like you talk to normal adults. I employ this all the time because I think it's really annoying when people talk to kids like they're little kids for some reason, which like there's a certain point where you talk to them more simplistically and you know, you're not going to have like an adult conversation with them. But I hate the sort of baby talk or like little kid talk, especially if the kid's in like the 8 to 11 range and they're like sort of starting to understand more about the real world and stuff. I think it's great just to talk to kids like they're adults. She's like, hey man, what's up, dude? Like, how's it going? You have a good day? Yeah, me too. I think that's great. I love that. I think kids think that, you know, like they're kind of part of the conversation too.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good part to like note is that if you engage with them as if they're also your age, like, yeah, some of your jokes won't hit, but they won't feel necessarily left out either.
Or it nothing's worse than when you're a kid and all the adults are just treating you like a shitty kid.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was terrible.
So basically like from what I said, stand firm, you know, just be an adult with the kids.
Yeah.
Like act like the kids are adults. Like, you know, when you see a baby, just be like, where's his briefcase? You know, because that's a boss baby. Right, you gotta know that these kids are just as mature as you are.
When you see a baby, put him to work.
yeah,
put that.
Send
kid.
Him that office email that's not getting answered. Tell him to check the log.
Yeah,
he's gonna be
teach
worse.
That kid how to get an email.
Yeah, when you see a 5 year old next time, I want you to crouch down, look him in the eyes, and just go, "Well, did you check the logs first?" The kid's just crying. He's crying because
just
his
like
cookie
you.
Was stolen. And then you go, well, did you check the logs? You can fix the logs on your own. Like, just go back.
Just
look at the crash report.
The
no, I don't care if you don't know how to spell log. Check it.
Anyway. Before we wrap up, can I say one small thing?
Please do.
Which is unrelated to children or work, but is completely related to spelling. So we're at this part of the pandemic, right? We've made it to this part of the world we live in where there's sort of a new thing that everyone's doing because we can't go do anything fun or cool. And the new thing is Wordle. Do you guys know about Wordle?
Okay, look, I've seen this shit on Twitter.
But I have no idea what it is.
Okay, this is great. So you go to Wordle. It's a website. I assume it's wordle.com, but I don't know for sure. But anyway, every day for 24 hours, a random 5-letter word is generated. And you get, it's either 5 or 6 attempts. It's 6 attempts. You get 6 attempts to guess the 5-letter word. Okay. It tells you, so if your letters are not in the word that you guessed the first time, it makes them gray. If it's in the word, but it's in the wrong location, it makes them yellow. And if it's in the word and it's in the right location, it makes them green. You get 6 tries and it keeps track.
Does it give you any hints or is it just 5 and you just have to start hammering out
words? No, so you guess 5 and then it'll tell you what's wrong, what's right, and what's in the wrong spot. And then you go again 6 times. Okay. It's only a 5-letter word. And then it keeps track of like how many in a row you get and how good you are and like which guess you get it on each time. It is fantastic. It's great.
I might start actually playing this.
Very simple word game and it's very fun. And then like, so it's the same word for everybody every day. So then you like post, like you can post your guesses without posting the letters and like other people can try to figure it out. It's a good time.
Okay. I'm actually going to start playing this.
I'm doing it right now, man. Thank you, everybody, for watching this fine episode, the grand return of Unlicensed Therapy Season 2. Here we come. And it's going to be a good year, 2022. I'm not going to, like I said at the beginning of this show, we're not going to make any promises about the next episode. But I accept for the fact that we will have a more clear idea of how often we're going to release and when. That is the one promise. I can't say that it'll actually happen, but at least we'll have an idea. So if you want to follow us on social media. We are at Unlicensed Show on Twitter. And on Instagram, we are at Unlicensed Therapy Show. Yes, I got that in the right order. You can also find us on anchor.fm/unlicensedtherapy. I think it's just that. I'm not sure off the top of my head for that one. But reach out. You can also email us. That's somewhere listed. Unlicensed Therapy. Whatever that. You're a person on the internet. You can figure it out. You'll find us. Shoot us a DM. Shoot us a tweet. Ask a question. We might answer it on the show. Thomas, do you have any closing remarks for these lovely listeners?
I guess the only closing remark I have is, I love you.
Thank you all so much for watching. Thank you to Aurora for commenting on our last podcast and all of the frequent and return listeners on our new season. We hope that this will be a long and exciting run, and all of the engagement helps us to create more content because we can only talk about poop for so long.
That's true. So go like us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.